desire to gather to worship the Lord our God. For indeed we are the sheep of his hand. He's given us a sweet privilege to walk together, to grow together in life. And I pray that today will be a day of growth as we talk about and think about this idea of Thanksgiving. I'm going to suggest, as we begin this message time, and as you open your Bibles to Psalm 138, I'm going to suggest that you also either take your bulletin on the inside where it has an opportunity for some notes, or maybe open up the notes app on your device, your phone. And I want to encourage you, throughout the course of this message time today, I want to encourage you to write down things that God triggers in your heart to give thanks for, all right? I'd like for you to kind of begin this week as you approach the day of Thanksgiving, having a list of things that you know that you are thankful for. I know that perhaps many of you have come already prepared for that today. You might already have your list. Many of you in your daily prayer life probably spend significant time saying, thank you, God. Thank you, God. But I want to encourage you today, either write it down on a piece of paper or put it in your phone some way where you can access it through the week and be reminded of those things which you indeed are thankful for. That'll at least give your hands something to do while your ears are listening to the sound of my voice, but also we pray that they will hear the voice of the Lord Jesus by his Holy Spirit today. In Psalm 138, the subheading that the editors gave to this passage in my CSB Bible here is A Thankful Heart. And I have titled this message today, Lord, My Heart is Thankful. And I trust and pray that as you have entered into this time that you're able also to say, Lord, my heart is thankful. I know as you've come into this room that you've had different kinds of experiences all week long. Some of those experiences probably were things that brought Thanksgiving. Some of those experiences may have been things that reminded you of loss and sorrow and struggle. But even in those things, as Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, he tells us, in everything, give thanks. And, you know, sometimes we're not sure how to do that, but along the way, we learn by just simply saying, Lord, this has been hard, but thank you. Thank you for your presence with me through this extremely difficult time. Thank you for your help when I have been full of sorrow. Thank you for your comfort. And there are many things along the way that we will be triggered and need to be reminded in those things even we will and must give thanks. Follow along as I read from Psalm 138. This is a psalm of David where he says, I will give you thanks with all my heart. I will sing your praise before the heavenly beings. I will bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your constant love and truth. You have exalted your name and your promise above everything else. On the day I called, you answered me. You increased strength within me. All the kings on earth will give you thanks, Lord, when they hear what you have promised. They will sing of the Lord's ways, for the Lord's glory is great. Though the Lord is exalted, he takes note of the humble, but he knows the haughty from a distance. If I walk into the thick of danger, you will preserve my life from the anger of my enemies. You will extend your hand. Your right hand will save me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Lord, your faithful love endures forever. Do not abandon the work of your hands. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for this psalm that just keeps us focused on you and helps us to be so mindful of reasons to give thanks to you. And so, Father, as we consider these reasons today and move through these moments, we pray that you indeed will be exalted and glorified from our hearts, from our minds, from our expressions, from our attitudes. And Lord, may it be that somehow, as a result of hearing your word and being in the presence of the living God by your Spirit today, we will be changed. Our lives will take new steps in that transforming work which you intend for all of us, moving from living lives according to the flesh and thinking according to the ways of this world, but also into the place of remembering that we dwell in the presence of the Most High God because your Spirit lives within us. God, we praise you. We give thanks for all of these things. Be exalted today in Jesus' holy name. Amen. 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 Well, I pray that you do have a thankful heart. I pray that you can say to the Lord, Lord, my heart is thankful. And as we think about the verses and the words that are a part of this passage of Scripture today, I love the way the psalmist begins it. He just simply says, I will give thanks. I will give thanks with all of my heart. So just those two little phrases, I'm going to share two thoughts with you from those two, and then we'll move on. But the first is simply this. I think it's important for us to realize that when we say, I will give you thanks, that is an intentional act of your heart and of your life. We sometimes have to be very intentional about giving thanks. And I think this is true as we think about how we must give thanks to the Lord, as well as how we give thanks to others. Every parent that I have ever known has on some level, and some do it very well, on some level they have taught their children to say, thank you. If grandma and grandpa gives them a gift, Sonny, say thank you. If there is anything that is, just the receiving of food, say thank you. If they are walking along and someone does something kind, like opening a door or picking up something or helping them carry something, thank you. Thank you. So there has to be an intention and really a teaching in order that we would have an intentional heart of thanksgiving. And so if we are to give thanks to the Lord, we need to learn what it means to give thanks to the Lord. Let me just illustrate that by this right now. Sheep of his pasture, give thanks to the Lord by saying, let's try that one more time. All right, now you're catching on, all right? The sheep of his pasture, give thanks to the Lord by saying,
thank you.
Very good, thank you. Thank you for doing that. I appreciate it. And we have to be intentional about that. And I am grateful that as we walk with the Lord, as we grow in discipleship and become more and more like Jesus along the way, that we probably are developing more and more that habit of saying thanks to the Lord, of giving praise to his name. Sing praise forever. God is faithful. And so we will give thanks intentionally. Now, I think there's something else that's suggested here as well when it says, I will give you thanks with all my heart. I think it's also implied there that we will be mindful. If we're going to be giving thanks to the Lord, we need to pay attention. We need to pay attention to the things that are evident in our relationship with him, and we need to be mindful of those things and be careful to notice, because, you know, sometimes people do things for us, and we don't even notice. And I've had conversations with people who have been in the habit of doing things for others, and they've been hurt because they just haven't seemed to think that they ought to give thanks. They haven't really noticed. And let me say this. I don't think that even in those conversations, those people are doing things in order to be thanked or to be noticed. But I think sometimes over a period of time, we need to recognize that it's worth paying attention to those around us who are doing things that make a difference for us. And we need to notice and give thanks. We need to notice and give thanks. I think that's true for me. We need to do it in our families. You know, husbands, you need to thank your wives for picking up your socks, for putting them in the laundry, or for whatever. Wives, you may need to thank your husbands for picking up your socks, all right? And that's perfectly true. But we need to give thanks for that. We need to notice what someone else is giving for us, and we need to be mindful of those things, mindful of the people around us, and give attention to what they are doing to make a healthy and positive difference in our lives, right? And so that's what I mean by being mindful. That's what I mean by we will give thanks intentionally, and we will be mindful in the doing of that. For if we notice some of the things that God does so much that, how can we notice? But maybe it's just that we need to give thanks, Lord, for that last breath of fresh air. We may need to give thanks for that last opportunity for the beating of the heart. I'm not sure what was going on in me this morning, but as I got here, my heart was kind of beating a little fast. I'm not sure why. I don't think I had exerted myself particularly a great deal, but my heart was beating a little fast, and I got kind of warm, although it was very warm in the office this morning. But I got kind of warm, and I was a little bit uncomfortable. And at one point, I just had to stop and think, okay, Lord, thank you, help me. I really don't like the way I'm feeling in this very moment. I'm giving thanks because that time passed, that moment passed, and sometimes strange things happen in our bodies. You all know that. You know when maybe you might for a moment even become dizzy or affected by something around you, and you're grateful once that time passes because you're able to keep moving. But you have to be mindful, because I think right now is the first time I'm saying, Lord, thank you for that moment passing in my experience this morning. Lord, thank you that I'm able to stand here and not be uncomfortable as I stand and open your word and share with other people. And so we need to be mindful. We need to pay attention to those small things every day that the Lord has done. And so we want to do that. And then we need to recognize that giving thanks, as we say, I will give thanks to you, it's a decision of our will. It's a decision of our will. Sometimes someone might do something for you and say, and you might think, well, they should have done that anyway. And so you might not have an attitude that is full of gratitude. And so you need to just say, as a decision of my will, because this person has done this for me, I will give thanks. I pray and trust that you are in the habit of giving thanks when you notice things along the way. On any given Sunday morning, there are people who are serving in order to help your experience be a little bit better. There's probably someone at the door, and they've opened the door for you. Have you said thank you? I bet you have. There are those who have prepared and practiced and come ready to lead in worship. It'd be worth saying thank you. When's the last time you said thank you to Ruth? Thank you, Ruth. I try to do that every week, not necessarily publicly, but, and thank you to the booth, and thank you to the singers who help us in the leading of worship, and the drummer, especially the drummer. Thank you. But others who are there, those who are helping with the elevator, those who have prepared to teach the Bible and to spend time with you, those who have come and been ready to give Tina a hug, thank you that you've been ready to express your love to one another. And in the expression of our love for one another, we are expressing our love for God, because He is the one who loves us. And so, It is a decision of the will. Come ready to do that. Be in the habit, not just because it's Sunday, but because it's Monday. When's the last time you gave thanks on a Monday, right? Those are the harder days. But we want to be in the habit of giving thanks. There may be someone in your life that you've struggled to be thankful for. And perhaps today or this week or in the days to come, you will have an opportunity to be with them and you will remember that there is something that you need to say thank you for. It may be a coworker, a boss, someone that is your employee. It may be a family member. It may be someone who is a neighbor across the street or somewhere not too far. But you want to give thanks as an intention of your will and a decision of your will in order, number one, I don't know why I said number one because I'm only going to say one thing, in order to help them know that you are grateful for them. And sometimes that's to remind you that you should be grateful for them, right? That's right. And so I will give you thanks, and that will be an intentional thing, it will be a mindful thing, and it will be a decision of the will. All of that's right there in verse 1. And then, also in verse 1, it says, I will give you thanks with all of my heart. With all of my heart. When you read in the Gospels, there is in each at least of the three first Gospels, a portion where it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your mind. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. All of your heart. What does it mean to love God with all of your heart? I think it means that if you love God or anybody or anything with all of your heart, you're sold out to them. You're sold out to who they are, to what they want, to what they desire of you and from you and in your life. You're sold out as you love God with all of your heart. I know some people that are sold out to their teams, to their sports teams. I know some people that are sold out to their marriages, and that's awesome. I know some people that are sold out to an idea or a philosophy. I know some people who are sold out along the way. And my friends, we need to love God and give thanks to Him and praise Him with all of our hearts as though we are sold out to Him. We are holding nothing back. Nothing. What are you holding back from God today? I think sometimes people are holding back because they're just not quite sure what to think about this extravagant love of God that caused Him to love us so much that He would send His only begotten Son, who came into the world, who recognized that even in the doing of such, He would be sacrificing His own life, that you and I and so many others might be forgiven of their sin and saved from the death that leads to hell. My friends, through Jesus Christ and through Jesus alone, we have the hope of everlasting life because He shed His blood. He alone is the one who was worthy to be that final sacrifice, that offering of sacrifice before the Lord that would bring forgiveness of sin and cleanse us and make us whole. And He alone is able because He alone is the one who was raised from the dead. He alone is the one who lives eternally and today in the presence of the living Father is interceding for you and for me that we might live in such a way as to bring glory to the name of God. And to lead others to put their trust and their faith in Him. So we will give thanks with all of our hearts. We're sold back. We're holding nothing back. And how can we really do that? Well, I just want to remind you of what 1 John 4:19 says. Some of you would be able to quote this perhaps, but 1 John 4:19 says this, we love because he first loved us. Specifically, it says, we love because he first loved us, and it goes on, if anyone says, I love God, and yet hates his brother or sister, he is a liar. For the person who does not love his brother or sister whom he has not seen, whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. And we have this command from him, the one who loves God must also love his brother and his sister. Friends, today, we love because he first loved us. We wouldn't understand love if it were not for his expression of love to us and giving himself as a final and worthy sacrifice for our sins that we might be forgiven and receive the gift of eternal life. My friends, that's why the church exists. It's to proclaim the love of God and to proclaim that which he has done for us. If you have not put your trust and your faith in Jesus Christ, not just his name, but in him, the one who died, who was buried, and who rose again on the third day, if you have not trusted him, then you do not have eternal life. It is through Jesus that we have forgiveness of sin and eternal life. The sacrifice of his blood cleanses us from all sin. So I give thanks to him with all of my heart because I know without him, I'm helpless, I'm hopeless. There's nothing that I can look forward to in eternity because without Jesus, there is no hope. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. And in his words, he said that. Declaring, I am, and that no one comes to the Father except through me, said Jesus. And we love today because he first loved us. So today, my heart is thankful, Lord. I'm grateful, and I will intentionally give you thanks. I will be mindful. I will be aware of all that you are doing. I will have a decision of my will to say, Lord, thank you, and I will be grateful with all of my heart. I will hold nothing back because you first loved me. You demonstrated your love through Jesus as he went to the cross and died. And then also in verse 1, okay, number 3 from verse 1, I will sing praise before and with the heavenly beings, the angels, and etc., all of the heavenly hosts. You look through and read, particularly in the book of the Revelation, you look there and you see some exciting descriptions. You can also see some pretty amazing descriptions in the book of Ezekiel, and just seeing about those things, those today, I mean, we might think they're like creatures, but they are beings. They are worshipful creations of heaven, creations of God, and their purpose and their function is to give praise to the Lord, to sing that praise, to be examples, even for us as we read it in God's Word. And today, we will sing praise before the Lord. We will sing praise before the heavenly beings and with the heavenly beings, with the angels. And by the way, also with all those of us who have put their trust in Jesus and have gone before us into glory. I know that Julie and I both are looking forward to the joys of heaven when we'll be able to sing in the heavenly choir with people that we have learn to sing from, with people that have taught us what it means to know God and know the living nature of standing in the presence of God and singing with praise in our hearts before the Lord. My dad taught me to sing tenor. Actually, if you sing tenor, that's because your voice doesn't know how to sing bass. Every once in a while, as I've gotten older, and maybe when I have a cold, I can hit some of those low notes. But some of you wish I couldn't hit such high notes sometimes because I love to sing up there and I expect you to join me. It's okay, you can sing harmony or drop it down an octave. An octave? What's an octave? Friends, today we give praise and we sing to the Lord, and I will sing praise to him before the Lord and with the heavenly beings and the angels and all that are there in glory today. I will sing your praise. If there's a list of those things that the church can be called weak in, I think this is one of them in some cases. I've been among people who do sing grandly and boldly. But if there's one of those, I think there is this troublesome issue for some people. They don't want anybody to hear them sing. Well, let me just help you solve that. Don't look at anybody next to you, but all of those who are next to them, just sing loud so you don't have to listen to them. Sing loud so that Jesus hears you. Sing loud so that he is exalted. Sing loud because he is the one who is worthy to be praised. And there's nothing that he's given you that he doesn't want to hear. And so find the joy of singing praise. I get it. Sometimes we don't have that much good practice. And I know some of you may have been among those that your music teacher, when you were in grade school, said, you know, why don't you just stand in the back and don't sing very loud? Isn't that awful? I would like to take a yardstick and take that teacher's hand and just slap it as hard as I can for doing things like that, because no one should be taught that they shouldn't sing. No one. School music teachers have such a privilege. And everyone can sing. Everyone can sing. Even if you're the Baptist deacon leader in the church who says, I don't know about the rest of them, they all keep changing notes. I just pick one tone and I sing it all the way true to the end. If that's the way you sing, I want to hear you. I love the sound of that. I honestly love the sound of that. Sing praise to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give him thanks by singing praise, and you will sing with him. All right. Well, verse 2 goes on and says, I will bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your constant love and your constant truth. You have exalted your name and your promise above everything else. And so as we think of verse 2 for just a moment, we want to just have this thought. I will give thanks for God's constant love and truth. I will give thanks for God's constant love and truth. Have you ever just been going through your day and all of a sudden you're reminded that you're forgiven? All of a sudden you're reminded that God loves you. I have a friend in Glendale. He's the brother of one of our deacons in the church that I served in Southern Oregon in Glendale. And he's one of those guys that's recovered. You know, he might call himself a recovering alcoholic, recovering drug addict, but he's one of those guys that I would say is recovered. Not that he shouldn't be aware of potential, but he's recovered, and he's a preacher today. But every time he sends something, or he sends something in an email or in a text or posts something on Facebook, the end of it always says, Jesus loves you, so do I. Jesus loves you, so do I. And I think of Bobby and I think, praise God for Bobby. Because every time I see something about Bobby, I'm reminded that Jesus loves me. I'm glad that Bobby loves me too. But I'm reminded that Jesus loves me. And you see, we need to be ready and willing to give thanks to God for his constant love and his truth. We want to, in that verse, it says, for his name, you have exalted your name and your promise above everything else, it says. And we need to be exalting him. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, above the heavens. I forgot the rest of it. Didn't plan to sing that, or else I would have written the words down. But we exalt you, O God, is the chorus. We exalt you, O God. And as we sing that, we remember that he is constant in his love and in his truth. And he is constant in his promises for us. Do you remember the promises of God? Do you think of the promises of God? I pray that you do, and I pray that you will as you go through this week and through every day of your life. Perhaps that needs to be added to your list today. Lord, I am so thankful for your promises, because I know that in your promises, I have eternal life. I know that in your promises, I have the hope of heaven. I know that in your promises, you include me in your family, and you claim me as your child. I love you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. And I will give thanks for God's constant love and truth regarding his name, regarding his promises, and how that makes a difference for me. Okay, verse 3. You ready for that? Verse 3. I will give thanks to the Lord because he answers me when I call. He answers me when I call. He's listening. He sees you. He understands your need. He is aware of you, and he is ready to respond when you cry out to him. And in fact, you'll discover when you cry out to him that he has already prepared that which you need, that he has already put it in front of you. I will give thanks to you, to him, because he answers when I call. And not only does he answer when I call, verse 3 says, on the day I called, you answered me, and you increased strength within me. So he not only answers when I call, but he strengthens me when I am weak. Not very long ago, we were in 2 Corinthians. And as we were in 2 Corinthians in chapter 12, we came to this section where the Apostle Paul was in the midst of complaining about his struggle, about his thorn in the flesh, and the difficulty of that, and how he had discovered from God that that was probably not something that he was going to be delivered from. He said, I asked for help 3 times, and the Lord did not deliver me from the thorn in the flesh, the pain, the suffering, the struggle, the difficulty, whatever it was. The Lord intended for that to remain in the Apostle Paul's life. Part of it, he understood, was to help him remain humble. But what the Lord said to him, finally, he said in verse 8 of 2 Corinthians 12, concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it would leave me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. And so, friends, we need to give thanks to the Lord because he answers us when we call, and he strengthens us when we are weak. I'm weak way too often. But there are some places in my life I'm just weak. And apparently, I've struggled to do whatever I could do to change that. But he has accepted me and loved me and met me where I was, and he has strengthened me when I am weak. There's another reason, folks, to give thanks to the Lord. Put that on your list, because he strengthens us when we are weak. He answers when we call. He strengthens us when we are weak. Let's move on to verses 4-6. Real quickly, these verses, I don't want to minimize the importance of them, but I'm going to run through these verses pretty quickly. But here it says in verse 4, all the kings on earth will give you thanks, Lord. So just think of the impact of that statement. All the kings on earth will give you thanks, Lord. Now, it may not look like it. It may not feel like it. You may think that the world is in a horrible condition, and it is. But recognize that the truth of God's word tells us that all the kings on earth will give you thanks, Lord, when they hear what you have promised. They will sing of the Lord's ways, for the Lord's glory is great. And though the Lord is exalted, he takes note of the humble. But he knows the haughty from a distance. Now, this is talking about the leaders, the rulers of this world. Well, let me just remind you what Romans 13 tells us. Right? You know where I'm going? Let me remind you what we learned from Romans 13, where it says, let everyone submit to the governing authorities, since there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are instituted by God. So then, the one who resists the authority is opposing God's command, and those who oppose it will bring judgment upon themselves, for rulers are not a terror to do good conduct, but to bad. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have its approval. For it is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, because it does not carry the sword for no reason. For it is God's servant, an avenger that brings wrath on the one who does wrong. Now, we could read more. I could preach a whole sermon out of that and more. But here's what I want us to remember. Though we recognize and we see the authorities and the kings and the rulers of this world, the presidents and the people with high rank in every nation of the world, and we recognize that in some places there is deep and great corruption, we look to the Word of God and we are reminded that all that is there has been instituted by God. The corruption is not instituted or intended or planned by God, but all that is there, all of the governing authority, is there as a gift from God, even when it brings us to a place of deep challenge. Now, that's a whole different sermon. But I think we want to remember that we are able to give thanks to the Lord because He is over the governments of the world. That's what it says when he says, goodness, I thought I'd gone back to the right page, but I didn't. But that's what he means when it says, all the kings on earth will give you thanks, Lord, when they hear what you have promised. And they will sing of the Lord's ways, for the Lord's glory is great. Though the Lord is exalted, he takes note of the humble, but he knows the haughty from a distance. And I'm going to just remind you that every one of us should also be thankful that in our nation, in our form of government, in the United States, we have a voice and we have an opportunity to say things. If you didn't vote in this last election cycle, shame on you. If you didn't express your heart, if you didn't express your conviction, shame on you, because that's your opportunity to give your voice in the context of our government. And of course, there are many opportunities between presidential elections in order to help make decisions along the way. He answers when I call. He strengthens me when I'm weak, and he is over the governments of the world. Quickly to verse 7. I will give thanks to the Lord, for he is my protector. He is my protector. If I walk into the thick of danger, as a fool, perhaps, if I walk into the thick of danger, you will preserve my life. From the anger of my enemies, you will extend your hand. Now, I don't believe we need to be foolish about these things. In fact, I know that we should not be foolish about such things. In fact, not even the Lord Jesus was inclined to be foolish about such things when the devil took him up onto the pinnacle of the temple and said, jump, and you won't even dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus said, it is written, you shall not tempt the name of the Lord your God. You know, like I said, I don't think we need to be foolish. But when we find our place and ourselves in places that seem danger, we do have a protector.
When we are in this world and perhaps find ourselves among those who would be our enemies, those who would be intentional about causing harm and bringing trouble to us, He is our protector. He protects us from danger. He protects us from our enemies. I give thanks to the Lord for His protection. You know, there are some things that have happened in my life and yours as well. It's amazing how many people I have conversations with who say things like, you know, I really shouldn't even be alive by now. You know, 7 or 8 times there have been opportunities for me to lose my life. But because there was an intervening authority and power and protector in my life, I'm here today. I have a couple of those, and it's not a big deal. One was in the car when I was coming. It's between Ritzville and Spokane. I was driving late into the evening, and it was blizzard conditions out there, basically whiteout. And a car came around me on my left, and I have no idea. Well, he must have had studs on his car. Did they have studs on the car when I was in high school or in early college? Yeah, I know, it's been a long time. But this was early college, and I was driving down. I thought I was hanging to the road pretty well. But all of a sudden, the whiteout conditions thinned enough in front of me, and I could see a trailer sitting on its side in my lane. And the other lane, the passing lane, was open, but that car that had just passed me had stopped where there was a very narrow passage between that trailer and their car. And I fishtailed, and I spun, and I didn't go all the way around, but as I did my very best to correct, I know that in that last second, something different happened, and the Lord put His thumb on the top of my car, straightened it out, and I went right on through and kept sailing. Folks, the Lord does things like that in our lives. You know, He protects us. He protects us from our foolishness. He protects us from the foolishness of others around us. He protects us, and He guards us, and He guides us, and He saves us because He has a purpose for us, which, by the way, is coming. He is my protector from danger and from my enemies. And verse 8 tells us that. I will give thanks to the Lord because He has a good plan for me. Verse 8 says, the Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. Lord, Your faithful love endures forever. Do not abandon the work of Your hands. Folks, we talk a lot about trying to discover God's plan for our lives. And I think it's important that we give attention to the fact that He has a plan and that we make decisions that can perhaps be consistent with His plan for us. When I started college, I started in music education. And I thought, you know, I could be a music teacher. I could teach band, I could teach choir, I could probably be a, you know, your all-around good music teacher, maybe in a smaller district somewhere. I could be that guy. I could have fun with that. I've always loved leading bands and choirs and things like that. I've always loved that. But something happened in my early days of college. Some of it was just my own silliness and foolishness, but I think it had a very specific purpose, and I made a decision that I would not spend time pursuing the education part of that to get an educational certificate, because somehow I knew that God's plan for my life was not leading me to do that. I don't know why, but He has a plan, and we make decisions in regard to that plan, and we need to be diligent in pursuing those things that He has revealed to us in that plan. And we need to remember that the Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. So I give thanks to the Lord because He has a good plan for me. And He loves me. I will give thanks to the Lord. Didn't we start there? Because He loves me. Because He cares for me. Because He pays attention to me. Because He's attentive to my needs. He is aware and He sees every part of my life. I will give thanks to the Lord because he loves me. Lord, your faithful love endures forever. Do not abandon the work of your hands. I'm so glad that God has never abandoned me. There have been times in my life, as there likely have been in yours as well, where you have perhaps felt a little further from God. Or you might have even thought that God was off somewhere where you couldn't find him. Well, the truth is, he's not the one who moved, as a rule. I get it. He allows us to go through some things, and sometimes it's intentional on his part, so that we can learn, and we can learn to trust, and we can learn to turn, repent, and move back in his direction. He does that, but he has not abandoned us. The cry of David here is, do not abandon the work of your hands. David was acknowledging that he himself was a work of the hand of the Father. And my friends, I want you today to be able to know and acknowledge that you are the work of the hand of God, and that he has given life for you through his Son, Jesus Christ. And he loves you, and he will not abandon you. My son accused me of abandoning him at one point. And I said, wait a minute. This is one of the times that I was pretty smart as a father. One of the few. But he accused me of abandoning him because he didn't want to move with the family. He was going to be 18 7 days after we moved. And he said, Dad, you're abandoning me. And I looked him in the eye. I said, son, I'm not abandoning you. I love you. I want you to go with me. You're invited to be with me. And where we're going, I have a place for you. You can live with me. And I'll continue to help and provide as you are establishing and figuring out where you're going to go as an adult. But if you stay here, you cannot think that I'm abandoning you. I'll leave this little truck with you. You can have that as a way to get around, but you're going to have to figure out how to pay for the gas and the insurance. And you're going to have to figure out how to pay for yourself. You'll have to find how you're going to live, how you're going to eat, and where all that will take place. But I'm not abandoning you. I'm not leaving you alone because you are welcome to come with me. You know, sometimes I think that's what the Lord is saying to us. He will not abandon us. We sometimes may, oh, by the way, he did come with me. He did come with me. He figured out how smart I was. But he, God, will never abandon you. You will know that there have been times in your life where you've wandered off into the wilderness. You've had that time when you were so far from him and you struggled and you couldn't quite figure out how you were going to make it. But you're probably here today because either you have found your way back and known that God would not abandon you, or you're in the process of discovering that. And praise God if that's the stage you're in, because every one of us needs to be at that place where we can say, Lord, I'm coming back to you, because I know in you there are promises of protection and care and provision, and your love endures forever. You will always receive me. So my friends, today I pray that you are giving thanks for all of these things. But I pray that today, if you need to return to the Lord in some way, in some fashion in your life, that this moment will be a day, a moment when you will say, Jesus, I come. I come to you. I trust you. I love you. I thank you. It's been a wilderness, but you have never left me. You have always been present and protected, even when I've been wrapped up in myself. If that's where you are in your life today, I just invite you to come back to a place where you are fully trusting Jesus, where you can begin then to give thanks with all of your heart. With all of your heart. Somehow it comes right back around to that first verse. I will give you thanks with all of my heart, and I will sing your praise before the heavenly beings. I will bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your constant love and truth. Let's pray. Our Father, we give thanks today with all of our hearts. And we pray that the example and the testimony of our lives moving forward will always reflect to other people that we love you first, that we love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, that we love you and we know that your love endures forever, and that out of your love we are able to love our neighbor as ourselves, because we love even in the first place, because you first loved us. Father, your word is so complete in expressing that love and that character toward us. We do pray today that not only will this week be a reflection of a renewed understanding of what it means to love you and to give thanks to you with all of our hearts, but that even more than that, we have an opportunity to dwell in your presence and to know the hope of everlasting life. Father, thank you for all of these things. Lord, if anyone today needs to say yes to you, may it be that right now, even as we pray together, that they would be able to say, Lord God, I know that I'm a sinner, that my sin has separated me from you. But I ask you, Lord Jesus, today to forgive me of my sin. I believe that you are the Son of God, that you are God in human form, that you came into this world and you died for me, and that your blood was a sacrifice to cleanse me from my sin. And Lord Jesus, I believe that even as you were buried on that third day, you rose from the dead, that you were raised, and that you have ascended into heaven and are preparing an eternal dwelling place for me and for all those who believe and trust in you. Lord Jesus, come into my life today as I receive your forgiveness and as I receive your gift of grace. I need you. Thank you. If that's the prayer of anyone's life today, I want to invite you to even declare that publicly. As we sing together in a moment, I'll be standing here. You don't have to say anything out loud to the congregation, but if you just come to me and say, I'm putting my trust in Jesus today, I need him, then would you come? Would you let that be known? There may be other decisions in people's lives. Perhaps you've wandered and you've been in the wilderness and you need to just come back to him. I'd love to pray with you and help you figure out what steps need to be taken next in your life. I don't have all the answers, but we have a lot of good people here who work together and can help. So we trust him and we walk with him. Let's stand together and let's sing.